2 eyes, 2 ears, a chin, a mouth, 10 fingers, 2 nipples. I have just described to you
Notch.
Men and sports don't really have a complicated relationship. It wouldn't be on Facebook as it's complicated. It'd be a pretty content relationship. Men have very few needs. Women, one of those needs. And it's always nice to combine females and sports. Ask any man and they'll tell you that a woman who's a sports fan, much more attractive than a woman who's not. And speaking of which, women aren't just on the sidelines as cheerleaders. There's not just athletes. There's also women broadcasters, many different varieties. There's a podcast going around. It's called Chicks, Sticks, and Balls. If you're wondering who would do a radio show with a name like that, wait no longer. She's here with me now in the Sports Spectacular. Her name is Di. And Di, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Tell us about the name Chicks, Sticks, and Balls. Where'd you come up with that?
I was trying to encompass all sports because I talk about all sports and, you know, sticks, hockey, balls, everything else. I thought it kind of, I'm a chick, just kind of rolled.
And it's a double entendre, which
right,
guys like.
Exactly.
Anything perverted guys like.
Right.
Got to know your target audience.
I pretty much do, yes.
Let's talk about females in sports broadcasting. There's a lot of sex appeal that's important with the profession. You look at the Fox Sports girls who...
Okay, first of all, that is not sports broadcasting.
They're using it as an opportunity to get into sports broadcasting. It's kind of like an internship. It's kind of like a cheesecake internship.
Okay. We were not going to agree on that. I think they are a disgrace to female sports fans and broadcasters. And
why are they a disgrace?
Because their purpose is to smile and look cute and wear, you know, little shirts. And I'm pretty sure if you interviewed them and asked them to talk at length about any sport, they would not really be able to have an intelligent conversation about it. That's just I was at the state fair last year and I met a whole bunch of them. They had like a bunch of them from all over the country here, and pretty sure all of them combined couldn't come close to carrying Michelle Tafoya's jock strap. I mean, they are, so to speak,
carrying her jock.
I mean, she's amazing. She's what a female sportscaster should be.
I'm trying to get the visual out of my head about Michelle Tafoya wearing a jock, but
it's
a good thing you brought that up, because I was going to ask you about the female sideline reporters. Most of them, as I said before, whether you think it's right or wrong, sex appeal is important if you're trying to reach the male demographic as far as sports broadcasting goes, the female presence of sports broadcasting, and the vast majority of the female sideline reporters don't look anything like Michelle Tafoya.
No, most of them are blonde. I think if you actually took the whole gamut from, you know, all professional sports, almost every sideline reporter is blonde.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's because apparently most male sports fans prefer blondes. I'm pretty sure they know their demographic, and that's why they're there.
Generally speaking, yeah, blondes are across the board appealing. I think they're a bit overrated. They're kind of like the Coors Field of females.
Oh,
because
very, very nice. I like
the numbers
that
are inflated. Like Michelle Beadle, everyone loves Michelle Beadle. I'm not really that keen on Michelle Beadle.
Yeah, I'm not
either. Michelle Beadle's a 6, but everybody thinks she's an 8 or a 9.
Is that because she talks sports?
It's because she's blonde, she talks sports, and she's sassy, and everyone thinks she's just hot. Like Maxim hot, and she's not. Not really. So when she leaves ESPN to go to the NBC Sports Network, they bring in Clarissa Thompson, another blonde, and they say, hey, do what Michelle Beadle did. Just be sassy. Guys will love you. They don't watch the show. They don't watch Sports Nation for Cowherd or for Marcellus. Who's going to watch that for Marcellus Wiley?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever met any guy that cares what Marcellus Wiley has to say?
I can't.
Guys want to see the cute blonde being sassy and not saying Cincinnati Redlegs or whatever, you know. Don't butcher the team names. Don't sound like you don't know anything about sports. Fake it. Read off the prompter. They write it nice on the prompter for you. How important is sex appeal, generally speaking, though, as opposed to substance for women in broadcasting?
I mean, you're asking a woman. For me, I think that plays a larger role in it than it should. But when I've had this discussion on Twitter and with other people, it's, you know, by and large, men watch sports. So they, like you said, they don't want to watch an unattractive female who really knows a lot about sports. They would rather watch a very attractive female who can read a teleprompter and maybe throw in a little sass.
They want a lot of sass. You can pretty much do anything if you're a cute blonde on those shows, on those TV shows.
But you don't have to know anything.
That's
true. You can do anything, but you don't really have to know anything.
Now, on the radio, it's a bit different because there's not the visual element. I noticed that you like to brand in the fact that you're a female into, like, your Twitter account handle is Female Sports Lover, and the name of your podcast has the word chicks in it.
Right.
But it's obvious that when you get on there on your show that you're knowledgeable about sports. Why do you feel the need to brand it as a female talking sports as opposed to just someone that happens to be female talking sports?
I think it's because in my little small world, I'm trying to change the fact or the conception that the preconceived notion that because you're female, you don't really know anything about sports. And it's important for me. I'm proud of the fact that I know what I know. I work hard at it. I work hard at the show. I do my research. And I think it's important that I want to be respected for the fact that, yes, I am female, but I actually do know what I'm talking about.
When I was doing my own research for the show, I was going to talk about how you do the show from a female perspective. But I think that would be incorrect because the generic female perspective would be that of a casual fan that knows little about sports. You're a sports broadcaster that just has a female voice. So it'd be more accurate to say you're a female voice than a female perspective, right?
I would say that's correct. I mean, I grew up playing softball. My whole life, I've gone to, my parents had season tickets to Twins and Vikings, and I mean, I've been a fan since I was a little kid. So it's important for me to, yes, I'm female. I don't know if it's from a female perspective. I mean, what really is that, you know? I mean, is that I have boobs and therefore I can't talk sports? Or, you know, what, you know, we had kind of talked back and forth a little bit about, What is a female fan or a casual fan? I mean, are they watching sports because their boyfriend or husband watches sports? Are they jersey chasers? I mean, I don't know where they fall in. I don't have any female friends outside of Twitter that are sports fans. None.
How many female friends do you have? I mean, what's the sample size?
Good friends. I have half a dozen.
So you have a half dozen female friends and none of them?
None.
Are into sports?
None.
Not even a little bit?
No.
They won't even fake it if they meet a guy that likes sports?
You know, I'm not going to say that. Maybe they would. I just mean if I have tickets to a game and I want to call somebody up and go with me, I call a guy because I don't want to have to explain the whole time I'm watching a basketball game or a hockey game. You know, I want to go and watch and be involved. I don't want to have to, you know, entertain the person next to me because they're bored with what's going on the ice or on the field. That's just my friends. I mean, and I've had some of these friends for 30 years. I mean, I've met so many really cool female sports fans on Twitter. That's been a really cool thing for me because I've got a lot of them on there now. And when I say fan, it's like real fans. Like, they understand. It's amazing how I've kind of been able to connect with these women who are kind of all across the country and what they know and appreciate about sports. Because I don't have it locally, really. I mean, I'm kind of expanding my circle so that I can get to know some of these other women that are local and go to games, and we were kind of organizing like a chick date where we all go out and go watch a game or something without a guy. You know, what a novel concept.
It's funny you mentioned the thing about the tickets and asking guys, because my sister is not a sports fan at all, hates it. She's always ripping on me when I'm watching sports. And when she has guy problems, she occasionally asks me for guy advice. And I tell her, if there's a guy that you like, if you want to ask him out, just tell me of an extra ticket to a particular sporting event. And that way you can find out, one, if he's a sports fan, because I tell her that if he's not a sports fan, he's not worth dating anyway. And two, if he won't even go to the game with you, if he won't even use you for a free ticket to a game, then he's really not into you at all. So that's a good way to gauge that.
Yeah, I would say that's probably pretty accurate.
Because if you have an extra ticket, if you're going to ask a guy, sure. Even if, like, I don't like you, you know, I'd still pretty much want to go. You'd have to be really repulsive for me not to take advantage of that ticket. You know what I mean?
Right. But at the same time, you don't want a guy to go to a game with you if he's not into you. I mean, you don't.
But you're not going to know that until you get to the game.
An intelligent woman would know.
Well, okay. Well, my sister's not, so.
Oh, you are so dead when she hears this.
This is about sports. She's not going to listen to this.
Oh, okay. Well, then I guess you're safe.
Well, it's like I told my sister, if a guy's not a sports fan, there's something. Drugs or booze or cars. He's big into motorcycles or tats, or he's in a gang, or he likes to smack her up a bit, or he's into extreme, like, bungee jumping and stuff. If a guy liking sports is the, if that's the worst you can say about him.
For some women, though, that's a deal breaker. I mean, if it's foreign to me because, quite honestly, yeah. when football season starts, I'm from noon till, you know, 9 o'clock at night, other than when I, you know, make dinner. I'm on the couch with my laptop, and I'm watching my fantasy football teams, and I'm watching football from, you know, noon to nine. That's what I do. I think the world would be a happier place if more people were, you know, into sports instead of some other things.
Why don't women like sports?
Oh, why don't women like
sports? Generally speaking.
You know, I think some of it is because it's been an old boys club for so long. You know, we've kind of, and when I say we, I'm speaking as the females of the world, we've been excluded. You know, my mom grew up watching sports because her dad was a huge Vikings fan, and like wrestling, she used to watch like, what is it, AWA or I don't know. I was raised that way because that's how my mom was raised. And I think unless you have a female, you know, who's into sports to begin with, I mean, I'm right, my daughter, she's seven. I want her to play softball because that's what I played, and I would love to raise a softball player. Yes, she could care less. She wants to do dance. She wants to put on sparkly costumes and do dance, which is fine.
The more you push them toward it, you know.
Yep, you can't. And I love her for it. That's fine. That's her personality. I think she would make a great softball player. She has the mentality to do that, but she wants to put on tap shoes and twirl around, and I never wanted to do that as a kid. That wasn't what I wanted to do, but that's what she wants, and that's fine. I'm hoping that, you know, as she gets older, we go to games together, and I mean, you know, I take them to Saints games. My kids love the Saints. If you are trying to get someone into sports, so for guys, if you're trying to take a date, I mean, St. Paul Saints, that's a good time because it's very entertaining. It's outside. So, I mean, that's kind of how I'm progressing with my kids. Okay, let's go to the Saints game, and it's fun, and they can have ice cream, and they can do this. So, yeah, I guess if a guy wants to try and get his girlfriend or wife or whatever into sports, that's kind of that's like the White Zinfandel of sports. You know, you start out with...
That's a good analogy.
Right, you start off with that, and then, you know, maybe eventually you can get up to the, like, you know, the Red Zins and the...
What's the Red Zin? If the Saints is the White Zin, what's the Red Zin?
Ooh, honestly, I think it's Timberwolves. I think that's...
Oh, that would be, the Lynx would be the Red Zin, more than the Wolves.
True, but you have the female perspective. You know, you have their women, and so...
Oh, okay.
I think that's an easier sell for some women because they're women, and that's kind of an appeal.
Of course, we're talking about wine with Di, who's the hostess, I guess, of Chick Sticks and Balls, a sports podcast. And what's the website? Let's give it out real quick.
Sizzlin99.9.
Must be really hot if it's Sizzlin.
Sizzlin99.com.
Sizzlin999.com.
Exactly.
Don't type that upside down.
No.
Myths and misconceptions about female sports fans. Do you feel like you have to try to prove yourself to people who think you might just be that kind of fake casual sports fan that's only doing it because their boyfriend likes it?
You know, I don't. When I get into, I've felt dismissed by some guys in conversations where we're talking about sports.
Because they automatically assume you're not going to know anything about what they're talking about.
Right, because, you know, I'm a girl. What could I possibly know? So, I mean, I don't feel like I have to prove anything. It's just I have felt that, you know, oh, you should really put on an apron and go be in the kitchen. Still, I mean,
you can do that
have,
anyway. You know, there's commercials. There's halftime. You know, you can make food.
I'm an excellent cook. I'm a very good cook. So I can you know, go in at halftime and whip up a meal, no problem. But when the game is back on, I will be sitting in front of. I will not be serving you. You know, I will whip it up, and you can come and serve yourself, and I will be watching the game.
It'll be a great idea for a book. Female sports fans with their halftime recipes, dishes they can make that only take the course of a halftime or an intermission.
I think guys should come up with that. I think that a guy should come up with that. I don't think we have to have it be.
No one's going
to
read a book that a guy wrote about cooking like Sloppy Joe's, gourmet Sloppy Joe's, you know, in a 20-minute hockey intermission.
I'd buy that. I would be interested in seeing what a guy could whip up in.
Okay. That's right. I'm thinking from the guy perspective, I guess.
Okay. There you go.
That's what it was. I said no guy would buy that.
You're right. No guy would probably buy that.
Hey, if the ladies would buy it,
right,
I could
think
add
so.
Author to my list of qualifications, I suppose.
I'd be happy to proofread for you.
Thank you very much. Because you're a librarian, you said, right?
I am.
On the side?
That's actually my paying gig.
This is probably the loudest you've ever talked in your life, isn't it?
No, I like noise in my library.
It's a librarian joke. It's a librarian joke.
I'm not a shusher.
You're not?
I work with kids. I work in an elementary library.
You got to watch your language, too. You're perfect for the radio. You got to keep it clean.
Oh, it's hard.
All right, let me ask you. We talked about the WNBA before. You mentioned them as the maybe the Red Zin of the sports scene.
Yeah.
Minnesota Lynx are doing pretty good this year.
They're just starting, but they look good. They look really good, and I'm really excited to have Janelle McCarville on the team. Watching her and Lindsay together when, you know, they play together at the U.
They went to the Final Four.
They did. And, I mean, they're just fun to watch. I mean, that's the thing about the WNBA. And I just started being a WNBA fan 2 years ago. And it's because it's pure basketball. You don't get the flopping and you don't have the egos. It's just pure basketball. It's fundamental. They play as a team. I mean, if I don't know if you are a fan, but
not particularly.
They're just fun to watch. They're amazing to watch. And their coach, Cheryl Reeve, she's lover. I think it was last year that she lost her mind and she almost got teed up. She got a technical. She got upset about a call. I think it was I don't remember, but she took off her coat and she whipped it and she was like losing her mind on the sidelines, and it was incredible. Cause I like that. I like passion. I don't want to see it. Like, I can't. Leslie Frazier is a fine coach, but I want someone...
You really think that?
No.
You said he was a fine coach.
I mean,
it's on record.
No, I'm not a big Leslie Frazier fan.
He's a nice guy.
He's a super nice guy.
He's affable.
Right. But I don't need somebody to go like Mike Ditka where you're worried that they're going to have an aneurysm on the sidelines. But, you know, show some passion. Show some... something that you have a heartbeat. I mean, just, you know, I've never coached professional athletes, but I got to think they want someone who's going to fire them up.
They shouldn't have to be fired up. They should be professional enough to know the significance of certain games.
Well, I wouldn't want it to be artificial. I mean, if I were coaching, I would probably be a bad coach. I coached inner city girls softball, middle school. And so I've never coached men that make millions of dollars to play a child's game. But it would not be artificial. Any firing up that I had would be very genuine, because I would not, I don't believe in stroking their egos. I don't believe in, you're getting paid millions of dollars. This is your job. If you can't do your job, then I'm going to be in your face. Unlike Leslie Frazier, who just kind of sits there.
Or stands there if there's not a chair handy.
Well, you know.
I know.
I didn't appreciate the whole Percy Harvin thing, and, you know, because to me, you respect your coach. Your job is to do what he says. And
he's always had a problem with authority, though.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
Oh, and I don't... I know so many people were just up in arms. Oh, my God, I can't believe we let him go. I can't believe we traded him. I'm like, goodbye.
Those are the casual fans talking, though. The casual fans are like, he's Percy Harvin. We can't let the name player go. Forget the fact he's a pain in the butt. Forget the fact he misses games with migraines and other mysterious ailments.
Or the fact that he quit on his team. He just quit. He quit. He wasn't, you know, when he was injured, you know, and we were playing without him, he wasn't with the team. He wasn't on the sidelines. He's a cancer. I was not sorry to see him go at all.
I'm glad we got on this topic, because I want to talk about if you ever feel patronized when you see women, like we were talking about Percy Harvin, casual fans were outraged about Percy Harvin. When you go around, you see females wearing the female specific clothing that like the NFL makes, the NFL shop makes.
Like the pink jerseys?
The pink jerseys, exactly. The special cuts that they have, the flattering, female-friendly cuts of clothing that they have. Mm-hmm. Do you feel patronized at all by any of that?
You know, I don't. Every jersey, I like right now, I bought a brand new Vikings jersey, Harrison Smith. That was my pick.
I don't know about you, but you're feeling 22. Taylor Swift.
Oh, God. I hate her.
Oh, she's awesome.
Oh, God, no.
If you can like sports, I can like Taylor Swift.
Oh, I'm not telling you, you can't. I'm just saying can't. The second I hear a note that sounds like a Taylor Swift song, I'm on to the next station.
I'm just saying, if we're blurring the gender roles.
Absolutely.
Here a little bit. I can dig Taylor Swift.
Absolutely. You can feel 22 all you want.
Do you buy the regular, the men's style jerseys, or do you ever buy the female?
You know, I mean, it's not that I don't buy, like, you know, I've gone to Target and bought, you know, they have like Twins and Gophers and whatever. I mean, I bought the blingy, you know, Twins t-shirt or whatever, because I like bling. But if I'm buying a jersey, it is a regular men's
standard.
Yep.
When you see other women wearing like Percy Harvin jerseys, regardless of how it's cut or color, do you think they're really a fan of Percy Harvin, or do you think that they're just wearing their boyfriend's jersey, or do you think that they're just wearing it because it's purple and it's pretty? What's your first impression of other females? What do you think is the standard impression? Not so much your impression. Well, I want to know your impression, but also what do you think is the basic impression people would get of you when you're wearing that? What do you think people are thinking about you?
Well, first of all, I would rather die than wear a Percy Harvin jersey, but because I'm not a fan. But I don't know. I think when, you know, you can tell, I mean, generally, if it's their boyfriends or husbands or whatever, it's oversized. So you could tell if that's generally if it's hers or not.
Could be their teenage sons.
Right. Well, yeah.
If she's like a size 2 or something, you know.
Right. It could be. I mean, it absolutely could be. I would hope that, you know, and some people just don't even do jerseys. Like they'll do t-shirts or whatever. That's fine. I like jerseys. I only will wear them on game day. Like I don't go out of my house, like to the grocery store on a random Saturday with a jersey on. If I'm not going to a sporting event or going to watch the sporting event, I don't wear my jersey. I think guys break that rule all the time, and that's fine. You want to wear your jersey 24/7, be my guest. I don't think women do that, though. It's for a reason. And if they're wearing Percy Harvin, I think either they think he's hot, which I don't understand, or it's popular. He's popular. It's a popular jersey number. You know, they're not going to go and probably wear a Matt Khalil jersey.
Have you ever been quizzed by people when you're out and you're wearing sporting apparel? Like they want to see if you're a real fan? Like if you saw some of the Percy Harvin jerseys, you could say, hey, I've been a fan of his since college. Where do you go to college again? And do you think they'd know?
I think generally, no, they wouldn't.
But do people ever quiz you
about stuff like that?
Like if you're wearing your Harrison Smith jersey you just bought, you know where you went to college, stuff like that, right?
Right. Never been quizzed. I've been approached and talked to by guys in general terms, not like anything.
But that's a hit-on thing. That's not a testing you to see if you're a sports fan thing.
Right.
Which is worse? The getting hit on or the getting quizzed, if you ever got quizzed? If a guy came up to you and just started talking to you, but he really wanted to...
Well, that would at least make it more interesting. You know, just walking up and say, hey, how about those Vikings? That's not going to get you anywhere. For most female fans, that might work.
You think the WNBA is going to ever become independent of the NBA? Like they're suddenly going to say, we don't need no man league to take care of us?
Would you like my Pollyanna answer or the truth?
I want the truth.
I would love for that to happen. But given the fact that the fan base is nowhere near what it would need to be completely independent, I don't see it happening.
You mentioned before about how you're into softball.
Yes.
I've always thought the league that would have the most possible success with the female demographic is if someone like Major League Baseball started a softball league. Because softball, unlike basketball, because basketball is pretty much the same sport men and women playing. Softball is basically a different game than baseball. I could actually get into watching professional softball, women's softball. Can you ever see a league like that happening?
I as long as it doesn't involve lingerie, I would support it.
What's wrong with lingerie?
Because, we have, there's the lingerie football league, and I think now they've got like a basketball one now. As long as it's legitimate.
There's a lingerie basketball league?
I believe so.
Okay, I'll have to look that up.
Apparently you do. Apparently I'm introducing you to this whole other level of whatever.
And I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So you don't think a softball league would work?
I think it would be awesome.
Because it's popular on college campuses. You don't even need to build new ballparks. You just use the ones on college campuses.
Well, I mean, women's college softball is hugely popular.
I've watched some of it on television.
Yep.
ESPN. Do you think it's a concern that women's sports is primarily shown on the male sports networks? Because if women are interested in the men's sports, if they just want to watch the female sports, they have to sift through all the other stuff, the Skip Baylesses and whatnot. You ever think there's going to be a time when, like Lifetime or Oprah's network, a female-specific network would show more sports? Do you think that'd be a good business move?
I think it would be, as a female fan, I would love it. Again, though, I have to look from a business standpoint. I don't know if there's enough... I don't know if there's enough audience to support that, because you have to figure, even though nearly half of like NFL fans are female, I blogged about this a while ago, and the stats have escaped my mind, but if you look at the percentages of male and female fans in the NBA, for NBA, NHL, NFL, the female fans are catching up to guys. This is not just a guy thing anymore. And, you know, the idea of having a network where women could go, I can't imagine, you know, like when you said Lifetime movie network.
I'm just saying hypothetically something like that. ESPN,
right, I understand.
On their website, they have the ESPNW part of their website. Maybe they should form an ESPNW network exclusively to female sports. That way, if you wanted to watch women's athletics, you wouldn't have to sit through World's Strongest Man.
I think you're onto something. I think you and I should do this. We should brainstorm this, and you know, I'll host. I'll do some shows on there. You and I can, we can make money doing this, maybe.
There's nothing wrong with making money.
No, making money is good.
One more thing about women in athletics. All the talk before about Brittany Griner, how Mark Cuban was thinking about drafting her, and people were debating whether she would actually be good in the NBA. I don't think she would have been good in the NBA, not because she's a female, because she has ability. But you see with a lot of male players that try to transition from one position to another. There's small forwards that have to transition to power forward in the pros, and they can't make that transition. Brittany Griner was a center in college, and there's no way she'd be a center if she ever got to play in the NBA. But the main question I'm getting at is, do you ever think women will be a part of professional male sports? And if so, which league would be the first one to have a consistent, successful person? Not just somebody trying out for publicity.
You know, that's tough. I could see it happening, but I don't know which sport. I mean, Brittany Griner is ridiculously good.
But she'd be like Derek Williams is for the Wolves, if she were on the Wolves. She wouldn't be Pekovic.
No. And she can dunk, which everyone makes a huge deal about. But, you know, the Lynx have women that can dunk.
It's different dunking in a game because you can't take, like, 15 steps.
That's true. I thought it was entertaining when Mark Cuban was like, yeah, you know, talking about, and it was all publicity, and I get it. I seriously think some of these women, you know, like you look at Simone Augustus or, you know, Maya Moore, if you take away the fact that they're not physically as big as a lot of the guys in the NBA, they could flat out outplay them if you just looked at pure talent.
If you took a lot of the physical play out of basketball.
Well, and honestly, there's a lot of physical play in the NBA, but there's also, like, I barely touched you and you threw yourself on the ground. That doesn't happen in a WNBA game. I would love to see a woman play professional sports on a male team. I mean, you look at hockey, you know, look at where women's hockey has gone.
That's way too physical, though.
You know, but it is only because they have different rules for girls. Like, when I was growing up, I wasn't a hockey player because we had to play ringette. Okay, we had a stick and a little ring, and you ran around, and it was ridiculously stupid. Now girls play hockey. They got pads. They're, you know, but they're not. They don't.
But they couldn't withstand some of the hits that these guys take.
That's true. But you know, you don't. You have some smaller guys on teams. You don't have guys that are all. You know, I mean, look at Jason Zucker for the Wild. He's not a big dude. He's like 5'9" or something.
You'd have to be a really large woman to be average in the NHL.
Right. Well, you would, and it's not to say that that can't happen. We could strap Janelle McCarville in some skates and send her out there. She could hurt somebody.
What do you think about soccer? Take someone like Abby Wambach. She could probably, if you took her off the bench in the final 20 minutes of a game, she could probably contribute to an MLS team.
I'm not a soccer fan.
Oh.
Not at all. Like, my son plays, and it's everything I can do to stay attentive on the sidelines because my mind wants to wander because all it is running up and down.
No. I'm going to tell you what I tell everybody. And don't take this the wrong way because you're a female, but soccer has a lot of foreplay in it because it's a lot of build-up. It's a lot of...
But, you know, it's like... It's
that's
like,
why they're so excited when the goal's scored.
It's less exciting version of hockey.
It's different strategies. It can't be as fast-paced as hockey.
Well, no, because you're running. And, you know, I will say that, you know, David Beckham has probably done a lot to bring women, you know, into soccer.
See, if we're going to talk about foreplay in soccer, you could talk about David Beckham in soccer. It's only fair.
Right, exactly.
That's right.
As long as he doesn't talk. As soon as he talks, that whole fantasy thing just goes right out the window. He's not the smartest sounding gentleman.
He doesn't have to be, though, the way he looks.
No, he just has to sit there and look pretty.
Die, Chicks, Sticks, and Balls. Tell us more about your podcast, what time it's on. Give us the information again.
Well, it's we do a live broadcast, and we're kind of changing up the programming, so it'll be changing to a different day. But for right now, it is on Mondays from 3 to 4. You can go to sizzlin999.com. You can watch the live video feed. You can download the app and listen to it on your iPhone. You can listen to the podcast later. They usually have them up a day or so after the show. And follow me on Twitter and, yeah, all that fun stuff.
Well, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. It was a fun discussion. Hope it was good for you, too.
It was awesome. Thank you so much.